Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Today's story of the Transfiguration is probably one that you've all heard before. It's one of the things that we include every single year in the lectionary, in the cycle of readings. And it's always on this last Sunday after the Epiphany, right as we're getting ready to start Lent on Wednesday. And at first glance, the reason this is always part of Epiphany might seem kind of obvious. It is the ultimate manifestation of Jesus's glory. I've called it before the Epiphany to end all epiphanies. And we get it as a bookend to his baptism, which we remembered at the beginning of this season. Even the voice from heaven is back again. So in Matthew's narrative, we're now 6 days after Peter's confession. And if we're to believe the overwhelming church tradition about these things, Jesus and the disciples spent those 6 days traveling from Caesarea Philippi to Mount Tabor. It's about 47 miles away. And that may very well be where the Transfiguration took place, on a hilltop, 1,800 feet above sea level, which, if you view it from the valley below, I guess counts as a high mountain. In fact, it's actually now a very popular pilgrimage destination for visitors who go to the Holy Land. There's an old joke that God must be especially pleased with all the taxi drivers who take the pilgrims up the narrow mountain road, because there is more praying in those few minutes than the whole rest of the trip. But the Bible actually never names the mountain of the Transfiguration. And yes, it's entirely possible that everyone at the time just knew what it was, so you don't need to write it down. But I'd like to offer you an alternative. It doesn't matter, at least not to Matthew. What matters is simply that it was a mountain and not which one. Because for our gospel writer, everything started at Sinai. That's where Moses met with God and then handed down the Torah to Israel. And everything would end at Mount Zion one day, where the prophets of old said that not only Israel would gather, but the Gentiles would also come. That all the nations would see God there at the end, when creation is made right once again. Which is kind of a metaphor for the mission of Jesus, actually. But in between the beginning and the end, between the mission of Israel and the salvation of all, there are some other mountain encounters. The last few weeks we've been hearing from the Sermon on the Mount, portraying Jesus as the new Moses, the new lawgiver. And I don't think the parallel to Moses stops there. Let me see if I can convince you. Just as Moses went up with a selected group of three elders and had a vision of God on the seventh day that caused his face to shine with glory, well, now Jesus goes up another mountain with his three friends and gives them a dazzling vision of him as God. Just as God spoke to Moses from the cloud, now God speaks to Peter, James, and John the same way. And in case we miss the point, it is Moses and Elijah standing there with him, symbolizing and even incarnating the very law and the prophets. But we also need to remember, as we approach Lent, that there will soon be another mountain, or actually more of a hilltop this time, a hilltop on which the glory of the Transfiguration will be replaced by the shame of crucifixion. Instead of Jesus having white shining clothes, soon his garments will be stripped from him. Instead of the heroes Moses and Elijah, Jesus will be accompanied by two criminals. Instead of a bright cloud, the land will be plunged into darkness. Instead of God declaring that Jesus is the Son of God, it will be a Roman soldier who says it, really surprised. We cannot understand the mountaintop without knowing about the hilltop, and vice versa. But we know that hilltop is not the end of the story either, because after his death and resurrection, Jesus will gather the disciples once again. And it's on a mountaintop. And he will say to them, "Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." That's how Matthew ends his gospel. That's the message he wants you to take from his book. Remember that he is with you always until it's all over, until everything is set right again. We're not left stumbling around on our own. It's not like Jesus takes a break during Lent and Holy Week. He's already risen. That part is done. So today, that is the message of this great epiphany for me. Not that Jesus is the Messiah long foretold, not that Jesus is the Son of God, probably not even that we should listen to him more often, because we know all of that. But that he will be with us, and thus we should not be afraid either. We don't get to live on a mountaintop forever. No one does. We have to make our way back down eventually. But nothing can take the glory of Jesus away from us. Not sin, not shame, not even death.